Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Tech Doctor Podcast. I've got with me tonight a person who I consider to be one of the real pioneers in the area of Apple accessibility. He's from Alabama. His name is Shane Jackson, and he's taught me a lot over the years, both online and through his podcast and in other ways as well. And Shane, thank you so much for agreeing to be on the Tech Doctor Podcast.
Thank you, Robert. It's an honor to be here with you, sir.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you. If you will, you know, there may be people who listen to this podcast who don't know who you are and what you're all about. Would you please just take a few minutes and tell us a little bit about who Shane Jackson is and what you do and how you do it?
Well, certainly. I am Shane Jackson, and I am from Gadsden, Alabama, actually, which is about an hour northeast of here. So Vestavia Hills is where we live. My wife's name is Abby, and we're the only two here right now. I actually graduated from the University of Alabama with a degree in history and classical languages, which is Latin and Greek, and I took French in high school. So I'm a linguist by hobby. That's pretty much what I do in my spare time. I study languages and study ethnology and history. My trade has always been computers. So since 1990, I've been involved in access technology, and that involves Windows, Linux, Solaris, several other operating systems. But in 2007, I decided to go Apple, and I had been an Apple user back in the early days from, I'd say, 90 to about 94. I used an Apple IIe until I blew it up.
Wait. We can't let that pass. You blew up your Apple IIe?
I did, yeah.
And yeah. Could you say maybe how you did that?
Yes, I wore the thing out. I used it incessantly because I would write my own programs, and I would use it for papers in community college because I went to community college back then, and I would use that thing almost from the time I walked in the door almost to the time I got up the next morning. I would go to sleep for like 2 to 3 hours, get up, go to school. And I just used it over and over and over and over. It was one of the old Apple IIe's that had the double disk drive under it. You had the computer console, and on top of it, you had the dual disk drive side by side, 5 1/4 inch. And then you had the monitor on top of it, a little 13-inch, 12-inch, whatever it was, monitor. So I had Cadillac of the Apple IIe line.
Shane, I had one exactly like that.
Oh, and weren't they sweet?
They were sweet. And, you know, it took me all the way through graduate school. I used Larry Skutkan's Word program, and
that's what I used. ProWords,
and David Holliday's Bex software,
Bex Braille translator,
and that got me through my PhD program. So, and I actually wrote my doctoral dissertation on the Apple IIe. So, I am very, very fond of that machine.
Well, me too. And if I could find one, I'd love to have it because I've got a vintage mint condition from RC Systems double talk speech synthesizer that will fit in an Apple IIe.
Yes.
So I've got the original synthesizer with the original cable and one of Larry Skutkan's blind Apple user discussion discs.
Yes, I'm very sad that I foolishly got rid of my Apple IIe. I wish I still had it.
Anyway, that was my ProDOS days, and man, I was a AppleSoft basic programmer. But anyway, I went to, you know, we were all forced into Windows because Apple Macintosh was not really accessible for many years. And then they came out with Outspoken, but I knew nothing about it because I was in the Windows and the Linux environment.
Right. Yeah, and we all pretty much, like you said, had to go there because there just wasn't the accessibility.
Right. In 05, Apple came out with Tiger. Tiger had VoiceOver screen reader built into it. 07, I went Apple because they came out with Leopard. I got a MacBook, and I began to use it, and I began to advocate for it, much to the chagrin of a lot of the people in Alabama. They were very upset that I went Mac. And then I began to try to apply to the Apple Store. I would actually walk in the Apple Store and beg them, please, can you tell me how I can get hired here? Can you tell me how I can get a job here? I knew there were a couple more blind people at that time working for, I think there was one working for Apple. In retail now, not development. I'm not talking about development, only in retail. And on September the 12th, 2009, I finally went to work for Apple. I did my training, and I began to work. So I've been at Apple almost 3 years, not quite, but almost. And that brings me up to snuff. Now, and one thing that I was telling Dr. Carter before we began this podcast was I also was accepted a couple of weeks ago to law school. So I will be going to law school beginning in the fall, and I'll still be working at Apple. I'm just doing night school or weekend school, and I'll probably be at Apple until I at least pass the bar, and then we'll see what happens. So, Doctor, that brings us up to snuff on where I am.
That is really exciting that you're going to law school. I was very surprised and pleased to hear that. That's terrific.
It's going to be a neat experience.
It will be a neat experience. You will learn a lot, and I'm pretty confident that your Apple products will help you again in law school, just the way that old 2E did years ago.
Absolutely. You know it.
One of the reasons that I was so interested in having you on this podcast, Shane, is because I knew that you had gone to work for Apple. What is it that you actually do? Do you work in a store? Or what? Tell us a little bit about what do you do at Apple?
I am a specialist. Apple names us specialists, and there are different types of specialists. The different types of specialists are not official titles, okay? It's just designates where you're going to be in the store. For instance, in the front of the store, you have concierges or door specialists, we call them, and they actually greet you when you come in and ask you what you need, where you want to go. Then standing along the lines of computers and iDevices down the length of the store, you have sales specialists, and they actually sell you the computer, check you out, ring you up, you know, that sort of thing, answer your questions. In the middle of the store, you have people who do setups all the time. That's what I do currently. Then you have geniuses and creatives, of course. Creatives, of course, are the personal training specialists. They're in the back of the store, pretty much out of sight. And so that gives you an idea. Now, I started off as a basic floor specialist, which I worked the door and I worked sales. Then I did business for almost a year, which the business team is a unique group of specialists who actually work with business customers. For instance, somebody will come in and say, well, I'm going to buy 35 Macs. Whoa, your average specialist isn't going to be able to handle that. So they come to the business team. I did that for over a year, and I worked in the back doing data entry, email. You know, I worked the paper chase, basically. And here lately, I had asked people at Apple at our local store here at the Summit, which is in Birmingham, if I could do setups, and they didn't see how a blind person was going to do setups because you start from the out-of-the-box experience all the way to walking out the front door. Well, needless to say, I've been doing setups since the iPhone 4S came out.
Yes.
So I did the iPad, what we were going to call the iPad 3, but Apple calls it the new iPad.
Right.
Which I guess the next iPad that comes out will be the newer iPad.
Exactly.
I don't know, but the point is, I was there for that. I was there for iPhone 4S. I was there for iPhone 4. I was there for iPad 2, iPad 1. And so I've been there for lots of launches. And so I do setups right now. That's my main job. You come in, purchase a computer or an iDevice. The salesperson brings you back to me if you want a setup. You don't have to have one. It's just a courtesy, and it's free. And I'll sit down with you for about a quarter hour to a half hour and help you get your device up and running, set up your email, download the manual for you, make sure your device is working properly, that sort of thing, show you around a bit, show you how to click and pinch and draw and whatever you do. And so that's what I do.
Oh, boy. Now, that leads me to all kinds of questions I want to ask you about. But let's start with a very general thing first. Going into an Apple store is like going into a madhouse, because they're so popular and there's so many people and it's so loud and it's just so difficult. How can you get anything done? How can a person really work there?
Doctor, you get used to it. After 3 years almost, you get used to the noise. Now, I also wear hearing aids. So imagine I'm blind totally. I have acrylic prosthetic eyes. So I can't see light, can't see anything. And I wear Phonak hearing aids. So I hear you in the background, and it's doubly hard. Luckily for me, I don't use speech on the iDevice or the Mac. I use Braille. And so I'm able to do my job without even having to worry about that. Now, if you use speech, a lot of the other blind people who work at Apple, I'm told, use the speech with headphones. I'm not one who can do that.
Yes.
I can't stand there with a pair of headphones listening to speech while I'm trying to talk to a customer. If they can do that, great.
Yeah, I can.
I cannot.
So, okay, just to kind of complete the circle here, you use Braille. So
I do.
So when someone comes to you for help with getting, say, their new, I don't know, MacBook Pro set up, do you open it up and connect your some sort of maybe Bluetooth Braille device to it or something, or is that what you do?
With a computer, it's USB because it'll come right up.
Okay.
So it's a Refresher Braille 18. So with a Mac, it'll come straight up. With an iDevice, I ask their permission to connect it. Now, I can't do that during the setup process, so I depend on them to tell me. Actually, I've memorized the setup process as well. So
I bet you have.
While I depend on them, I also have a running memory of what's supposed to happen. Now, occasionally my hard drive, that's my skull, my brain.
Yes.
My hard drive blips, and they're ahead of me or they're behind me. And that opens up a whole can of worms because some sighted people don't want a blind person helping them. Some of them don't want a blind person helping them at first because they're scared.
Right.
And I've found that those types of people, doctor, when you have them, you can usually convert them. When they leave, they're just as pleased as punch that you helped them because you not only helped them, you showed them more than a sighted person would have taken the time to show them. And I've actually had sighted people tell me they appreciate a blind person because a blind person will actually give you more options than a sighted person will in some cases. And so that's how I do my job. And it does get loud. And when it gets too loud, I have to ask them for a break. And I go in the back, I regroup, come back out, and do it again. And if I can't hear the customer, the Apple specialists work as a team. So if I can't hear them, I just say, ma'am or sir, please excuse me for a second. I send a Braille message to one of the guys or to the back of the store. We have a text messaging deal set up, and I'll send them a message and say, I need help. And the next thing you know, without the customer really even realizing what's going on, here comes one of the guys. Hey, you need some help over here?
I see.
So that's how it works.
And it sounds like from what you just said that you found your colleagues to be pretty helpful and pretty supportive at the Apple Store.
Most definitely. There have been times when colleagues didn't know how to approach a blind person. You know, they don't know what to do.
Right.
But rather than get angry at them and pitch a fit at them, I explain the situation.
Right.
Look at me when you're speaking to me. I wear hearing aids as well. Please look at me. Don't look down. Don't mumble.
Right.
Tap my shoulder or shake my hand when you walk up. Let me know it's you. I've had no problem, doctor. Everything's just worked out. People understand. They work with you. There's no need to be aggressive.
Sounds like your experience with the customers has been in a lot of ways similar to my experience working as a psychologist, as I do, in that people may be a bit uncomfortable in the beginning. They may not quite know what to do or how to do it, but almost 99% of the time, by the time a person leaves my office, they're fine with the situation. It sounds like
absolutely.
Sounds like you've really found that to be true, even in a situation where maybe you do ask the customer to read something off the setup screens or something like that.
Absolutely, and what you do is you make them feel part of the setup. Hey, this is your iPhone. Won't you tell me what that says? You know, rather than, hey, I'm blind. Could you please read that to me?
So, Shane, it sounds like a lot of it is really, you know, something that most of us have at least learned to some extent, but I know you've learned it really well. It's that art of communication. It's that ability to make someone feel comfortable.
That's what you do.
And if, as a blind person, it seems like you're not able or willing to do that, and you mentioned attitude, which I think is really important too. If you're not able to do those things, it's really hard to get a job, isn't it?
That's very true, doctor. And the thing about it is, when a customer comes up to you with a salesperson, for the next quarter to half an hour, your job is, A, give that customer the knowledge that you can give them in that time frame, and B, make that customer feel, as long as you are with them, that they are the most important customer in that store. Now, yeah. Having said that, I've done up to 3 setups at once. There was a time when I had a MacBook, an iPad, and an iPhone at once. And so what I did, I would explain every time I went to a different customer, because they were sitting around me. I sit at the table, and they were sitting one on one side, one on the other, one across from me. And I said, now look, I'm going to go help John over here. You guys hang on. Keep going on and enter your Apple ID over there. Enter your password. I'm going to get John up to where we are. Or let me go ahead and help this guy get his picture taken for his computer. Let me go ahead and get him up to the desktop. Guys, just hold on a second. I'm not turning my back on you, not leaving you out. If you need to ask me a question while I'm talking to the other customer, tap my shoulder. You know, and it has worked beautifully. Customers are thrilled to do that. The fact that you would make them feel like they're the most important customer in the store, that's what it's all about. And you're right about not getting a job. If you've got the wrong attitude, you will not get a job. No way. Especially in retail.
One of the keys is that it's not long before that person starts seeing Shane as the man who knows a lot about setting up these iPhones and iPads and computers and who can be of assistance to them. Same thing happens with me. Students come in, they begin to realize this man knows how to help me with my psychological issues. And then you become not a blind person, but really you become a person who is on their side, on their team. And that sounds like that's what you're talking about.
That's exactly right. I like to tell people I'm not a blind Apple employee. I'm an Apple employee who happens to have a blindness condition. The sooner you can get the customer to realize that you are an Apple employee or any employee who happens to have the condition called blindness, rather than the fact that you're a blind employee, you will be better off. I mean, the sooner the better. The more quickly they understand that, the more productive you can be with that customer.
Absolutely. And that's because the blindness sort of fades into the background. Sure, it's an issue. Sure, they understand they need to tap you on the shoulder if they need something, or sure, they understand that the reality of the situation. But it's no longer this insurmountable thing that the two of you can't work your way through somehow. And that seems to me the thing that really makes the difference.
Absolutely, it does.
Well, so I kind of get it that you have worked out ways to handle the job in the Apple Store, and you've found ways to deal with the craziness of it, the noise, and just, I know it just, you know, just the way it is in an Apple store.
But yeah, another thing that we did before you go on is we took, you know, the little round Velcro dots.
Yeah.
We took those and we put them on the table. So where the MacBook Airs are, we'll have one dot on each end. And if you're going down the long aisle, it'll be the real soft Velcro. And on the short aisles, you know, the cross aisles, it'll be the little scratchy dot. Uh-huh. Then when you get to the MacBook Pro table, there's two dots on each side. So I know if I'm at table one, table two, table three, and I'm able to use my cane to walk around. I've walked through a store where you couldn't even walk two abreast, and I just use a cane to walk by. Excuse me.
Yeah.
By the way, and you'll appreciate this as a psychologist. By the way, sir, is anyone helping you? That's the key.
I love that.
Yeah, as I'm walking down the store trying to find my way around, I ask after the customer, ma'am, have you received help yet? Are you just standing here twiddling your thumbs waiting on somebody? You know, I can help you. And people appreciate that.
And for a moment, people's mouth drops open. They go,
yes.
My God, he actually works here. He actually can help us.
And what?
You know, because they don't realize at first, because that's just how, I know that's how the world works, you know.
Yep, that's right.
Well, I do want to back up just a little bit, just for a minute, because I want to know a little bit about, you said that you got into Apple and you went to the Apple store a lot and you tried to talk them into giving you a job. How does one, what has to happen for Apple to trust that a blind person can do this job? Or how does one get a job with Apple if you're blind?
You have to know your stuff, number one. And one thing is, they don't care about your great ability with the computer. You just have to know the basics. When you're out on the floor helping a customer, you are not concerned with voiceover. That's the problem I had with other screen readers, and they'll remain nameless because I love the people that work for some of those companies, and I'm not going to diss them, but
right.
I don't care about using X screen reader at the moment. All I want to do is use my Mac and be able to focus on helping that customer. Ma'am, this is Pages. This is what you do in Pages. Ma'am, this is Numbers. This is what you do in Numbers. This is Mail. This is what I don't want to show them voiceover. They don't care about voiceover. They're sighted. They want to get in, get their computer, and get out of there. So as a blind person, I have to know what I'm talking about. So when you present yourself for a job at Apple, you have to let those people who run that particular store know that you know your stuff. And once you convince them of that, which it's going to differ from market to market to market.
Yeah.
Once you convince them of that, doctor, it's all about the interview process. You apply online. Then you get a call, hopefully. Present your resume professionally. Please check your spelling. I've noticed so many blind people have problems with their spelling. That ain't going to get it.
Right.
You have got to be able to spell
right
in order to get a job. Present yourself professionally. Contrary to popular belief, blind people can be excellent professionals. They can be better professionals than sighted people. But you have to be professional. You have to present yourself as knowing your stuff. And you have to be social. The main thing that Apple wants from people is your people skills. You have to know how to interact with customers. You've got to be able to stand and look at a customer when that customer says, let me tell you something, you sorry Apple employee. I've had it with the store. I've had it with you. I've had it with this stupid iPhone. I'm going to throw it out the window. What are you going to do about it?
Right. That's when you don't get defensive. Go ahead.
You're exactly right about that, doctor, about being defensive. My answer to that person would be, just one second, please. If you'll hang with me, I'm going to get a manager.
Okay.
You know, you've got to have social skills, doctor. It's imperative when you work in any retail, whether it's Apple, Walmart, Walgreens, Best Buy. You have got to know how to conduct yourself in a public environment. You can't stand there reading yesterday's Twitter stuff with voiceover. Now, I can in the back. People laugh at me because I do it in the back, but I'm doing it by Braille. Nobody knows what I'm doing.
Right, right. Now, is it actually up to the individual store to hire you, or does it somehow come down from Apple itself?
No, it's up to the individual
store.
It's
up to the store.
Yeah, because they actually are the ones who are interviewing you and the ones who are, you know, chatting with you. You may go through 3-4 interviews.
I see.
And so you have to, again, present yourself in a professional manner, know your stuff, answer only what they ask you. Please don't give them all this rigmarole. Well, I've been a blindness advocate or blindness evangelist for 40 years. Please don't do that. They don't care.
Right. Okay, so not only do you have to know how to use your computer with your Braille display or voiceover with your access technology, but you've got to know how that sighted person is going to use that computer. So you have to know that you can do pinch gestures on the trackpad to zoom in on something, or
exactly.
You have to know those visual things.
You have to know that the launch pad is a spaceship. You have to know that the mail icon is a postage stamp. You have to know that the App Store is a little A with a circle around it. You have to know that Mission Control is a little window inside of a window. You have to know the red icon, it's a stoplight up in the top left-hand corner. Yes, sir. You have to know that the search field on an iPad, when you go into one of the stores, iBook, iTunes, or App Store, is up in the top right-hand corner. You have to know that in the Apple Store app, there are 3 to 4 or 5 tabs down at the bottom and what those tabs are. Yes.
So it's a lot like me trying to help my sighted wife with her Mac, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a whole lot what it's like. And how did you make that transition? In other words, how did you learn those things that you wouldn't necessarily have to know to use your Apple products with your Braille display?
I took full advantage of the shadow concept. In other words, what divers call the buddy system. So what I would do is I would ask one of the specialists, hey, look, can I watch you make this sale? Can I watch you interact with this customer? Because Apple encourages you to do that, not just blind people, anybody. Mm-hmm. And then I would say, John, I'm watching you with this customer, and you just told her to click on the red stoplight. Where is that, and what does it do? What's the green button over there? What's the blue button do? Is that the minimize button? You know, and I would just ask. And ask. You have to communicate with your employees. You've got to. It is absolutely essential that you communicate with your employees, and that's how I did it. Over, it's just like learning Braille. You know, you start learning Braille, and people said, "How long does it take you to learn Braille?" Well, that differs from person to person.
But the point really is that you realized very quickly that you needed to be able to speak that sighted person's language.
That's correct.
And as soon as you realized that, obviously you found a way to learn that by getting information from your colleagues, it sounds like.
That's correct.
And what a cool thing that is, you know. But I'm struck by the fact that it sounds like one of the things that has to be true with you doing what you're doing is you really have to be on your toes, right? You have to be on your game when you go there.
You really do, especially if you're on the front lines in the sales part of the store. Mine's pretty laid back now, but I've had to earn that position. You know, I've had to work to get there, but I'm pretty laid back. But if you're on the front lines where most blind people will start out, if you get a job at Apple, you have to be on your toes. And you have to have your wits ready. You have to be able to think on your feet, because you're going to get good customers. You're going to get bad customers. You're going to get in-between customers. And you have got to make split-second decisions or you will lose a customer. And if you lose too many, management's going to come have a chat with you.
Yeah, of course.
So stay on your toes. Keep your wits about you. The worst thing I ever did, Doctor, was the iPad launch. When the original iPad came out, I was on the front lines working at table one, right at the front door. And there were hundreds, hundreds, and hundreds of people lined up all down the little strip mall that we're in. There were hundreds of people trying to get in the store. There were tens of hundred people inside the store. I was miserable. Both hearing aids had locked in the top position. I have digital hearing aids, and their volume is digital. They had locked in the top position and wouldn't come down. So I was hearing everything at once, and I still had to interact with customers. And our store broke market record that day. So, you know, it's hard to do, but you are absolutely correct. You have to stay on your toes, keep your wits about you, and don't panic. Because if you panic, the customer is going to see weakness, they're going to turn away from you, and they're going to go somewhere else.
So do you come home really tired?
Yes. Serious headaches a lot of days. My wife will tell you that there's been many a day that I've come home with a splitting headache, and I have to sit down and I don't talk. I take the hearing aids off, and that's it. I don't do anything.
I could imagine that, especially when you were working, like you said, more of the front lines. I could just imagine that you would have to be worn out by the end of the day.
Absolutely. I mean, you stand there in the heat for 8 hours, because see, Apple keeps the doors open, and it, down here in Alabama, it gets pretty hot, and in Texas, it gets pretty hot.
You're right.
And I can only imagine my buddies out in Arizona, but you guys, you know, you stand up for, you know, 8 hours a day and get an hour lunch, you're worn completely out. You've sweated through your clothes. You sweated the card in your name tag usually out. The ink begins to run. You have to replace the card in your name tag. You know, they're just... It's miserable, but you do it because it's all about the customer. It's all about the experience, and you have to stay with it.
So I'm not really wanting to say anything to be down or to be negative, but one thing I've learned from you, Shane, just talking about this, is it does take a special kind of person with a real, genuine commitment to do a job like that, doesn't it?
I don't consider that negative, Doctor. I consider that honest.
So working for Apple in their retail store would not be for everybody.
Absolutely not.
because what you've described to us is you had to really want it, first of all. You had to really know the technology, second. You had to be a people person, third. And I'm not putting these in order of importance. I'm just saying these are things that had to happen. Sure. You had to go to the store and put yourself out there and be vulnerable and say, I want to work here. Give me a chance. Let me prove what I can do.
That's it.
And then once you got to the store and got a job there, you had to make certain adaptations to make the store environment be usable to you, using the Velcro and things like that.
And let me just say right here that Apple has been over backwards many times to help me. So this is the company who wants you to be there. This is the company who wants to have you on board. Apple doesn't focus on your disability. They told me that from the first day. We don't want to focus on your blindness. We understand that you've got to adapt because of your blindness, but we're not going to focus on your blindness. We're going to focus on you as an Apple employee.
You know, that is really so cool because, in a way, that's exactly the approach they've taken with everything. We're going to, we're not going to focus on how many gigabytes this thing has or how many processors it has. We're going to focus on the customer experience. Whether you can see the screen or not is not the most important thing. How you interact with this device is the most important thing.
Absolutely.
And I mean that, and it's so nice. It's so refreshing to even talk about that and to realize that that continues right on down to hiring or potentially hiring people with disabilities.
Yeah, it is. You're exactly right. And I'm going to encourage blind people. For goodness sake, if you're interested, please go to your local Apple store. Tell them that you know of or have heard of blind people who are working in Apple stores. Ask them to take you on a tour of the store, not just to take you to a computer and leave you. Tell them to take you on a tour of the store. I even do that with sighted people. Take them on a tour of the store.
Sounds like you're telling me that you really encourage blind people to go to their Apple, to the Apple store.
Absolutely, and get the customer service person to take you on a tour of the store, Doctor. Don't just go to a computer and stand there and play with VoiceOver. Learn the layout of the store. Ask the customer service person to walk you with your dog or with your guide or just you to walk you around the store. They're glad to help you.
Yeah, I remember when I got my job here at the university, you know, some 24 years ago, I did the same thing. I made sure that I had someone take me around and show me where the offices were and how things were laid out. And I got familiar with the place so that I could walk around with my cane and be, at least after a few days, reasonably comfortable with the situation and kind of know at least a little bit about what, at least almost as much about what I'm doing as the other new employees knew at that point. And it seems like it's just so important what you're saying. People don't realize that you have to integrate yourself into the situation.
Correct. And what's even better is I will actually sometimes take a sighted person on the tour. And that just, talk about thawing the ice. That'll do it every time.
Okay, so it sounds like in most respects, working for Apple has really been a great thing for you. You've gotten a lot of support from Apple, from the people at your store, and you've worked, it's gone well with the customers, and it sounds like, you know, you've grown and learned a tremendous amount working there.
Absolutely, Doctor, and more is coming. I intend to learn for as long as I'm there.
But you have decided to step it up a notch and go to law school. What's that about?
I've always wanted to be an attorney. I got my degree in history from the University of Alabama, and I've always wanted to pursue a career in the law. As long as I can remember, I've wanted to be a historian. Well, I am that. And the next step up is law school, and I've wanted to go. I just had setbacks and obstacles, and I just tried this on a whim, and it worked, and I have a lawyer friend who assisted me in getting to know the people at the Birmingham School of Law, and so my dream is about to be realized. I'm starting on August the 23rd, and we'll be doing law, I'm blown away.
That is so exciting, and I guess this is probably obvious to the people listening, but I'm just betting that the same principles that you use to integrate yourself into Apple and into the Apple Store. And the same warmness that you show to customers will be exactly the same tools, the same skill set you'll use when you start law school, right?
You better believe it, Doctor. And I know that if I came down to your little office in Texas, that I would get that same warmth because I hear it in your voice. And the fact that you asked me the questions that you're asking shows me that you know exactly the warmth I'm talking about, and you know the depth that it needs to go to depending on the customer. And so, yes, when I go into law, that's exactly what I'm going to do.
And, you know, somehow we have to – I don't know exactly how you teach it or even if you can teach it, but we've got to somehow help other blind people develop those skills. And I'm not talking about using technology. I'm talking about people skills. I'm talking about skills that enable you to put the blindness in the background and put the thing you're working on in the foreground. We've got to somehow do a better job of that.
We really do, and I really don't know how you would teach it, but if you've got the knack of it, you can intuit, I guess is the word I want to use, the customer or intuit the person that you're with, even at a restaurant environment or out with friends. You have to intuit the people you're with. You have to sense how you should act and how you should conduct yourself. So you're right. We've got to conduct ourselves appropriately according to our situation. And I don't know how you teach that, but it's got to be learned if we're going to integrate into society.
I don't know how you teach it, but I do know one thing we don't do is when we do these trainings and seminars, and I'm guilty of it just like everybody else, we don't take the time to talk very much about that.
Oh, that's correct. That's exactly right.
And we've got to change that because
we do.
If people don't have those models and those skills, they're not going to likely get that job at the Apple Store. I think that's really what we've concluded here.
Precisely.
So it sounds like a really exciting time for you, but I got to admit, I'm just a little worried about you, you know, because I think you're going to be burning the candle at both ends. You're going to be law schooling at night and Appling during the day, and you're going to be even more worn out.
I am going to be worn out for sure, and thank you for worrying. I appreciate that. But plenty of people have to do it. I mean, I've got a wife, and she works, and so you know, we're hoping to have a house one day instead of an apartment, and so I'm determined to do it. And if it wears me out, I'll just have to take a break when I can. And I'll have to, you know, meditate a lot when I don't have a customer. Just breathe deeply and rest when you can. Take every break you can take and do it. It's one of those things, Doctor, where I'm nearing 40. And if I don't go now, I probably won't.
Exactly. And that's exactly what I was going to say was, you know, you'll have to find a way to recharge your battery. You know, for me, a lot of times it's just taking the time to play on Twitter for a while or do something, that listen to some music or do something that I enjoy, take a walk, you know, but you got to find some way to recharge that battery.
You got it.
Because you will be incredibly busy this fall. I mean,
you got that right.
There's no doubt about that. Well, Shane, I have thoroughly enjoyed our conversation. And again, I really appreciate you taking time out of your schedule to talk to me about what's going on. Is there anything that you can think of that you would like to kind of close down with or say about all this as we bring this to an end?
Doctor, first of all, I want to tell you what a wonderful experience it's been to be on your podcast. I like the quality of your podcast and the people that you have on here, and it is an outright honor to have been with you. And as far as closing, I would encourage people. It's okay to be blind. We don't have to be put in closets, and we don't have to be singled out anymore as unique or different or amazing. You get out there, you make it happen, integrate yourself as much as possible. Keep your individuality intact. Let people know you're you and do the best you can. We're not talking about perfection here. We're talking about you and what you can do and what you can give the customer and what you can give the particular employer or environment or situation that you're currently in. And that's what I would say, Doctor. I mean, it's just all about encouragement, positive vibes.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you for saying that, because I think it's something that we don't talk enough about. Shane, do you have any contact information that you would be interested in giving out if people want to get in touch with you about these things?
Oh, yeah. I'm Jack728 on Twitter. That's JACK728. If you want to do email or Facebook, I'm JACK728@gmail.com. And I'll wait and give you my Skype information after I talk to you a little bit. That's where you can find me anywhere. Also, you can go to blindworldblog.blogspot.com. That's my podcast. Or you can simply look up Blind World, one word, Blind World, in either the iTunes podcast directory or on Downcast. I hear that people are using Downcast for my show. And this is new. Blind World is actually in iBlink Radio. So if you're an iPhone user, I don't know if it's available for Android yet. If it is, great.
It is.
Good. Then on iPhone or Android, if you're using the iBlink Radio app from that great company known as Saratech, you can find Blind World as one of the podcasts. Just look for the alphabetical listing of podcasts, and we're right there.
And I can promise you, you will enjoy the Blind World blog and podcast. There's always interesting stuff there. And it's one of the first podcasts that I listened to when I got a Mac. I was back in the Leopard days myself and got a Mac. And you taught me a lot through your podcast about how to use Audio Hijack Pro, which is what we use to record this podcast. So thank you for that, Shane.
Well, thank you, sir, for saying those kind words. I was glad to help you in some small way.
All right. Well, thank you all for listening to this talk with Shane this evening. It's been a pleasure bringing it to you. If you want to get in touch with me, remember, I'm techdoctor123@gmail.com. That's techdoctor123@gmail.com. Until next time, remember, learning is all in your head.